This afternoon in the morning, present at the table are Senators Pierce and Sharp, along with Senator Torgerson, Senator Adams, Senator Parnell. We are joined this morning by Senator Ward, and Senator Lincoln was in the room. Perhaps she'll be coming back. This morning we have before us Senate Bill 74, which was the governor's bill for supplemental appropriations for fiscal year 1997. We do have a draft CS for Senate Bill 74 Finance, and it has an E in the upper right-hand corner of the draft to signify which one it is. Senator Sharp, could we please have a motion to adopt the CS?
Madam Chair, I'd move that the committee adopt the CS for Senate Bill number 74 Finance, the E version, as a working vehicle.
Hearing no objection.
I'm going to object, Madam Chair.
Senator Adams, would you like to speak to your objection?
Yes.
Senator Adams.
My objection on this supplemental is threefold. The first one is the appropriation on sections 1A and 1B. I think the amount of money in both places is three times too high. I think, didn't I hear on overviews from Department of the Law, they requested $150,000 for the Venatite, and I think that's the amount of money that should be appropriated in that. Also, last year we appropriated under the statehood defense approximately $1.4 million, and that was supposed to take care of the Venatite case. Also, it was also supposed to take care of the navigable waters and IRS 2477. So there's sufficient money, I believe, left in there to take care of this. I have not seen a broken down detail of what Department of Law needs to do with that particular money, nor have I seen the legislature's budget on how to spend this $500,000. I do know that it's cost the attorney $320 an hour, but a decision might be made here by April, May on this particular case, and we don't need to spend this much money. And that's why I am opposing the CS at this time, Madam Chair.
Is there further objection to adoption of the CS? Would all those in favor of adopting the CS, Senate Bill 74 Finance, that's version E, please signify by raising your right hand. All those opposed? By a 4-1 vote, it has been adopted. So we do have the CS before us. We have both the Attorney General, Mr. Bruce Botello, and also Ted Popley, here to speak for the administration and for the legislature. Mr. Botello, would you like to join us?
Thank you, Madam Chairman. For the record, my name is Bruce Botello, Attorney General. I welcome the opportunity to address you this morning in support of specifically Section 1A, which is directed at an appropriation to the executive branch to present its advocacy on the Venatite appeal. Let me first, Madam Chairman, if possible, respond to two questions that have been raised by Senator Adams. First of all, the question of whether statehood defense had incorporated money sufficient to deal with the appeal to the U.S. Supreme Court. I can tell you categorically that in our budget planning, we had not anticipated that monies would be expended on an appeal to the U.S. Supreme Court, and that this is both, I think, for Alaskans as well as specifically our department, an extraordinary expense that was unanticipated and would require the expertise of outside counsel. As to the question of how we would intend to spend the request that we initially made of $485,000 and what is reflected here, $500,000, obviously, if the Supreme Court were to decide not to take the petition for certiorari, we're not going to see the same level of expenditure. But what is anticipated here was to present to you a budget plan and an amount that would allow us to cover the costs through an appeal. That is to say, we have two stages that we're dealing with. First, the petition itself, If it is granted, then there's another series of expenses, rounds of briefing, and amicus. I could indicate to you that we would anticipate in this first round spending about $125,000. That is a ballpark. It would include both our own petition, working on an amicus. There is some extensive legal research to be done as well, but I'm again hesitant in open session to indicate exactly how we intend to allocate the money, as I would be prepared to do that in closed session. But I think again, this in many respects would be a presentation of our legal strategy, which would be a matter best dealt with in executive session. Madam Chairman, I stand available to answer your questions.
Are there questions for Mr. Vitello? Senator Adams.
We appropriated $1.4 million to take care of three things. We have not addressed that: Venatide, Navigable Waters, RS 2477. So there should be a pot of money there just to address the Venatide case.
Madam Chairman, in fact, we have had monies expended on the Venatide case, but Senator Adams is, I think, mistaken in assuming that statehood defense only encompasses those three cases. We actually have in excess of a couple dozen cases that are covered in statehood defense that deal with issues of state-federal relations, and also, of course, go into the issue of native sovereignty. I'd be glad to provide the committee with a written explanation of where we're putting our resources in statehood defense, but it is not exclusively for those three cases. And again, with regard to the appeal, this was not an anticipated expense. Probably the most dramatic area that we have been spending on statehood defense outside of this area has been the U.S. v. Washington battle that we've had on fisheries is another that comes to mind right off.
And they made their case for the $1.4 million. They made the case that they would hear Venatide, so perhaps you use the money someplace else. But if in U.S. Supreme Court does not hear the case and we get word on it, and you stated the same level of appropriation that you would need is in the neighborhood of $125,000. Isn't that correct?
That's correct.
That's why I said that the only amount of money that is needed right now is $150,000. We can put the level down to $150,000. We'll still be in session. If they need more money, then they should come back to the table with a second appropriation, because we will be dealing with another appropriation since we haven't dealt with the four pages here, and that's my concern here, is over-appropriating. The other thing is basically, I think the administration is wrong in this particular case, and the majority on both sides. We should be educating the people in this particular case, because we are flawed with making statements that 227 governments are going to be formed. That is ridiculous, and you know that, and people are making these ridiculous statements. The hunting laws, we're not going to arrest nobody on these. And I mean, these false statements are coming through back and forth, not only from the Knowles administration in your shop, but also the majority. And we should be educating people on what's really the truth in this particular case.
Madam Chairman, if I might respond. It strikes me that there are two points to be made. First of all, does it make sense for the legislature to only appropriate a portion of the amount which may be required? In my judgment, that would be an imprudent step to take, in part because it is nearly impossible for the court, just in terms of timing, to reach a decision on the petition while the legislature is still in session. Under the rules of the court, we have until the end of the first week in April within which to file our brief. We intend to do it approximately a week early. The amicus and opposition, either by the Native American Rights Fund on behalf of Venatide, and those, again, who choose to join in, have a month to reply, after which we have a chance to file our responsive motion. That will take us at least to mid-May, and it is highly unlikely that the Supreme Court will have acted, in my view, before sometime in June, perhaps as late as July, which is the last word we would have before they recess for their summer and reconvene in October. In other words, in terms of timing, Supreme Court will not have reached its decision on whether to grant cert or not while this legislature is currently in session. Senator Adams has also suggested that there is a lot of misinformation, and that I certainly join in the sentiments, generally speaking. But I think that it is incumbent on all of us to recognize that there is a great deal of uncertainty caused by the Ninth Circuit decision that requires resolution by the highest court. Certainly, people can debate the merits of whether Indian Country is appropriate in Alaska or not, but the issue fundamentally before the court is simply whether the Ninth Circuit has properly interpreted the land claims settlement of 1971 properly. In our view, it has not done so. The issue really is whether, in terms of the standards that court has enunciated in the past over what constitutes Indian Country, it can be said that this land, ANCSA, was land set aside for Alaska Natives as such. And in our view, the overwhelming information presented in the actual language, the text of the Act itself, and in the legislative history would reach the conclusion that the Congress had intended to do away with lengthy wardship or trusteeship and in favor of an entirely new structure and a new relationship between Alaskan Natives and the federal government, such that it could not be one that would form the foundation of Indian Country. That is the fundamental issue, and one I think should try to avoid in the debate a parade of possible horrors about what might be the effect of Indian Country throughout the state. It is simply a legal question about whether the Ninth Circuit has properly interpreted the congressional action of 1971.
Last question. Would you say to the public that perhaps we have a 1% chance of the U.S. Supreme Court hearing the case? And if that's the case, that I believe that if we have a 500,000 less than, and we need 150 to go to the case, that the state of Alaska, in the meantime, will be flushing down a toilet, 350,000. We have a 1% chance. Would you say that? Would you say that we have a 1% chance for the U.S. Supreme Court to hear this particular case?
Madam Chairman, I think giving odds makes little sense. I've obviously repeatedly stated that looking simply at the numbers of cases which are presented to the court and the number of cases which are taken each year, our chances are certainly limited. But the real issue is whether we can present a compelling case to the court about why it's important that it address this issue. It's one that has dramatic implications for the state of Alaska. I don't think it matters which side of the issue one is on. Everyone would recognize that it will mean a rethinking of some fundamental relations, particularly between the state of Alaska and tribes throughout the state. And in that respect, it is one that merits the best efforts that Alaska can put forward to see that the highest court in the land be the ultimate arbiter of what Congress intended in 1971.
Further questions for Mr. Patella? Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Are there any questions for Mr. Popley? Mr. Popley, would you please join us and state your name for the record?
Excuse me, Madam Chairman, I neglected to do one thing. I understand that a communication from the governor was directed to the committee this morning, which would propose a change in Section 1A, page 1, at lines 7 and 8, which would delete, after the word state, the remaining text. And again, it's primarily directed to allay concerns that we would prematurely be attempting to avoid a court solution in favor of a legislative one. I would ask the committee's consideration, favorable consideration of that recommended amendment. Thank you, Madam Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Patello. Mr. Popley, would you please state your name for the record?
My name is Ted Popley, Legislative Counsel for the House and Senate Majorities.
Mr. Adams?
Can you provide the committee with your operating expense and your budget on how you plan to spend this $500,000 in the short time that perhaps we'll have an answer so we can look at it?
I can certainly do my best as the case develops to provide breakdowns as we spend the money. But as the Attorney General pointed out, there are a great many number of avenues that are being taken on this case, and there are a lot of briefs that are going to be filed. The legislature having been appropriated $500,000 as well, in communications with the governor's office and the attorney general's office, have agreed to do everything in their power to get this case held before the Supreme Court. That is going to require a number of amicus briefs, more than likely, that the legislature will oversee. It is going to encompass, as you alluded to earlier, an educational component for the public. It is going to include various advocacy levels in the federal government, including the Solicitor General's Office and the Solicitor, the Department of Interior, and the Department of Justice, in an effort to get this case before the Supreme Court. Those sorts of things, as they arise, will need to be drawn from on this funding. Very little of that has actually been expended, as with the contract with John Roberts. But as that becomes available, I'm sure I can provide that for you.
Can you tell the committee and the public what standing does the legislature have in this particular case? Can't hear you.
The legislature does not have standing. The Department of Law is representing the state of Alaska and has gone forward with this case in an effort to overturn the Ninth Circuit decision. The legislature, in cooperation with the government, however, can play a large role in getting this case before the Supreme Court. There are a lot of things that the legislature can do in an effort to help that.
Madam Chair, the legislature has no standing in this, and what we're doing is duplicating efforts. It's basically what you're going to do is have somebody do some research, then hopefully give that information to Department of Law to help them. Is that correct?
No, that's not correct.
With no standing, what are you going to do with your paperwork?
Well, as you're familiar, Madam Chair, there are a number of amicus briefs that can be filed that will have a tremendous influence in this case. In addition to members of the congressional delegation who have discussed the idea of filing amicus briefs supporting the state's position, the legislature plans to have a general amicus brief filed and advocate having parties around the state sign on to that amicus brief. And in the legislature's opinion, that's going to help the case.
I'm not going to debate the issue, Madam Chair. Without it standing, I don't think we have a chance there. The same thing could go forth for members that are sitting here that happens to be brown. We can do the same thing, and through the Native American Rights Fund, do the same thing, and that will have an impact of not having a hearing, in which we plan to do if this is the way that the majority wants to do it, then we will use the Native American Rights Fund as a rural senator to do this, because I think you're out of place on this. Thank you, Madam President, Chair.
Any other questions for Mr. Popley? Senator Lincoln.
Thank you for allowing me to ask a question, Madam Chair. In listening to the Attorney General advocating an amendment to the CS, and I think it was to delete and the United States Congress on line 8, what was the intent in putting that into the bill, do you know? And also, what are we going to do in the advocacy to the United States Congress?
Dan Lincoln, that language actually came from the department, or came from the governor in his original bill, so Mr. Poplett wouldn't know why they put it in that way. That was not his language.
And
that
that's,
was their language.
And that's what they're now proposing to delete.
To change.
So there isn't any effort then by the legislature to lobby the United States Congress for any language
no.
change?
The position of the legislative majority has been, and I believe it's consistent with the Department of Law's position, that the law is clear in this area, that the Native Claim Settlement Act is clear on the issue of Indian Country, and that judicial and congressional history is clear on this issue. Having said that, it is incumbent upon the United States Supreme Court to interpret that properly and overturn the Ninth Circuit's decision. Congressional legislation, I think, would be premature at this point.
And lastly, is there any effort going to be placed on utilizing part of that $500,000 to travel throughout Alaska, perhaps to discuss this case?
Madam Chair, Senator Lincoln, that discussion has been held. I can't say for certain whether that will occur, but I think, in my opinion, it is important to discuss this issue, as Senator Adams alluded to earlier, and to educate as much as possible on the issue rather than to incite further division on the issue. And if the leadership feels that that's appropriate and that there is a need for a statewide educational campaign, and that includes traveling to various areas, then yes, I would say that would probably come out of that portion of the budget.
And as a part of that, Madam Chair, then if the legislative body is going to be involved in it, in the education, I would hope that there would be both sides to be heard, the majority and the minority, on this situation or on this case.
Certainly, I think that is appropriate, Madam Chair, Senator Lincoln. The legislature, I should emphasize for everyone here, the leadership in taking this role and in appropriating this money is a support body. The governor's office and the Department of Law have gone forward and have agreed that this case is of paramount importance to the state of Alaska and that has a strong policy position. That Indian Country, in fact, does not exist except for Annette Island and the Metlakatla Reserve in Alaska. That is a policy decision that the legislative leadership has made. The Department of Law, as Senator Adams alluded to earlier, is the party in the case. The legislature exists and acts as a support unit. There are a great many things that this money can be used for in order to help the governor's office further the state's case. It will not be an attempt at propaganda. It will be a two-sided effort. There will be members of, as you said, the minority present, and there certainly will be that effort made.
Further questions for Mr. Popley? Thank you very much. Are there others in the public who would like to testify on this bill this morning? Seeing none, what's the will of the committee on the bill?
We have an amendment, Madam Chair. There's somebody here.
Senator Adams, do you wish to offer an amendment?
Well, I'd like to offer the amendment. However, my figure would be less than what it is. I perhaps agree with the language. I don't agree of the sum of $500,000. I agree with $150,000 on it on both cases. And I won't be offering the amendment. I would offer a friendly amendment afterwards, though.
Senator Torgerson?
Okay. Thank you, Madam Chairman. I'll offer an amendment on page 1, line 7, to delete the comma and insert a period, and then delete everything on line 7 from starting with the word including down through line 8 and ending after the period after Congress.
Does everyone understand the amendment? Senator Parnell.
Can I ask Mr. Fisher a question?
Sure. Are you objecting to the amendment?
Just for purpose of discussion.
Okay, well, I would object to the amendment. Mr. Fisher, would you please join us? Senator Parnell. Oh, I suppose you should indicate your name for the record.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Fred Fisher, Department of Law.
Recently stolen from LA.
Recently so, yes.
Senator Parnell.
Mr. Fisher, I just wanted to ask you about the change that's been requested by the governor in the language and ask if you could discuss the amendment in general in terms of what you think we're accomplishing by changing the language.
Madam Chairman, Senator Parnell, I'm not really what you might say up to speed on that aspect of things. I've not seen the language before and don't have a perspective to share on that with the committee.
Do you have a copy of the language?
No, I don't. I'm sorry.
Now? Let's just take a look at that for a moment.
Madam Chair.
Senator Adams.
If I may respond, I believe the language change here is directing the department just to stick with one certain thing and focus all their attention on the U.S. Supreme Court, not looking after what would happen whether the decision was made up or down, and to further the scope of work to go and lobby Congress. And that's the way I read that, and also the federal administration agencies. That's my interpretation of that amendment. But however, Mr. Fisher might have different views on that one.
Yeah.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. It's my understanding, based on the Attorney General's remarks, that advocacy through the federal administrative agencies, congressional delegation, would certainly be a necessary part of our effort with respect to this matter. Therefore, it seems to me that the proposed amendment could be somewhat problematic.
Senator Torgerson?
Madam Chairman, I thought we were afraid of, and maybe we need Mr. Popley to clarify this, but I thought we were going to be careful that we weren't trying to work on a legislative fix as long as this was in front of the Supreme Court. That being the case, then the amendment is a good one, where it wouldn't allow the administration to run off and try to get one of our congressional delegation to introduce an amendment, thereby jeopardizing the case. If we're comfortable that isn't going to happen, then I'd be glad to withdraw the amendment.
Senator Sharp.
Madam Chair, I don't object to deleting that language, but I'd sure like to see reinserted back into the language on line 6 after legal position, insert the language before the federal courts. Otherwise, it doesn't say what the hell they're supposed to be doing with the money. I mean, it doesn't focus it on what they're supposed to be doing with. And I think the focus, everyone agrees, is in front of the federal courts.
Senator Parnell.
Take a brief at ease.
Senate will stand, or the Senate Finance Committee will stand at ease. If the committee would please come back to order. By the way, we will call that amendment number 1. Senator Torgerson.
Madam Chairman, at this time I'd like to withdraw amendment number 1.
Amendment number 1 has been withdrawn. Are there further amendments? Senator Torgerson.
Thank you. I would now like to offer amendment number 2, but I don't have the original language.
Original bill?
Yeah, I got it. I shared it with the friend at the end down here. Madam Chairman, my amendment would be on page 1, line 8, to delete the comma after courts and insert the word and. And after the word agencies, delete the comma, insert a period, and delete and the United States Congress, period.
So the amendment is to page 1, line 8, deleting the comma after the word courts and inserting the word and, deleting the comma after the word agencies and inserting a period, and deleting and the United States Congress, period. Is that correct, Senator Torgerson?
Yes, Madam Chairman.
Okay. Amendment number 2 has been moved. Is there objection to amendment number 2, Senator Adams?
So basically what you want to do is try to work with Secretary Babbitt. Is that correct?
I'm not sure anybody can work with Secretary Babbitt.
Just ask. Maybe you have a point there.
If there's ever a goal that would be a worthy one, I would leave it in the amendment or leave it in the language.
Actually, no, we said the governor would work with the secretary.
Yes,
is there objection to amendment number 2? Hearing no objection, amendment number 2 has been adopted. Are there further amendments?
Yes.
Senator Adams.
I move and ask for unanimous consent that under lines 5, the sum of 500 be deleted and a sum of 150,000 be placed there. Under lines number 9, that the reduction of 500,000 to 150 be placed there.
Object.
There is objection. Senator Adams, would you like to speak to your amendment?
I thought I spoke to it earlier. I think that's the maximum money is needed by both sides because we will hear in April the outcome, hopefully April, May, hear the outcome of this particular case, and that's all the money is needed. Even when you're paying an attorney $320 an hour, I think that's a sufficient amount of money. And if we go beyond that, we're still in session, then we can look at it again and see if there's a supplemental that needs to be placed on it. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Further discussion? Senator Sharp.
Thank you. I would agree to go along with Senator Adams, except for the fact that the Attorney General said that there probably wouldn't be anything firm until even as late as July, or June, July, or August. So rather than coming back for a special session to consider it, which would probably cost more than what we're deleting here.
Not in a special session, while we're in session.
While we're in session, but he did say hopefully we're out of session by June and July. So there is that option or that situation that could be that there would not be any kind of decision until that late. So I would object on that ground.
Mr. Chairman, Madam Chair.
Mr. Adams.
If the Senator from Fairbanks has a figure for the Senator from Kotzebue, I will accept that because any time you give more money, you'll never get it back. If there's a number you want to put in there, I will yield to you.
Is the objection to amendment number 3 maintained?
Yes.
All those in favor of amendment number 3, please signify by raising your right hand. All those opposed?
Well, I'm still in the airport.
Change.
Amendment number 3 has failed by a vote of 1 yay and 4 nays. Are there further amendments? What's the will of the committee on the CS Senate Bill 74 finance? Senator Sharp.
I would move yes for Senate Bill number 74, Finance, out of committee with individual recommendations.
There is objection. Is there discussion? All those in favor of moving the bill from committee signify by raising your right hand. All those opposed? Motion carries by a 4-1 vote. The bill has been moved from committee. Yet, with individual recommendations.
Madam Chair.
Senator Adams.
May I have these passed out? It's just questions asked about tribal and Indian country and this, so members can have it in their packets just in case they want to review some of the Indian laws that we have regarding this case.
Sure, Senator Adams.
We'll be debating this on the Senate floor, and I thought it was only right we look and educate ourselves before we get to that point.
We'll tell all the attorneys to read it carefully. There is no Senate Finance Committee meeting scheduled for tomorrow morning. That's Tuesday, February 11th. On Wednesday morning, we will be back here, however, at 8 a.m. for a joint meeting with with the LBNA Committee, and I believe perhaps with House Finance, presentation by the Alaska Permanent Fund Corporation. Then later on Wednesday at 9, we have two bills, Senate Bill 51 and Senate Bill 35. And on Thursday morning at 9 a.m., we will begin an overview of additional supplemental appropriation requests that have come to us from the Office of Management and Budget. The additional sheets that were in your packet that had to do with the rest of the supplemental requests, the staff will be moving over to a different file for you to have on Thursday morning for those. So no meeting tomorrow morning, but we'll see you at 8 a.m. on Wednesday. No further business to come before the committee. We are adjourned.